For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
71 days out from Razorback football. You heard a touchdown there from Lucas Miller. I know people are getting excited for the upcoming season. I love the setup for the first weekend. Thursday night, get the throwaway game out of the way in Little Rock, and then you actually get to watch real college football that
weekend.
Good
morning, Pine Bluff.
Yeah. That's reality of everyone knows what it is. Sam Pittman's not going to openly say it. Coaches aren't going to say it. Players aren't going to say it. That's what you're facing in 71 days. Now, if it's a close game, then Friday morning is going to be an interesting show. Hopefully, it's a blowout, and then I can actually watch real college football the rest of the weekend. That following weekend will be real college football. When you go to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and you play one of the best offenses in the country.
Is that the real season opener?
Yeah. And you're not playing in Fayetteville until week three. This is a wonky schedule. Wonky schedule.
I don't know about that.
You don't play in your home stadium till week three.
Well, whose fault is that?
I'm not saying that Arkansas blameless. I'm not saying Arkansas is blameless in this, but you're...
No, they're 1,000%.
Yeah, they're culpable for this. But to say it's not a weird schedule, you don't play in your...
culpable.
Home.
They did it to themselves.
Yeah, to say it's not weird and a wonky schedule when you don't play a real home game till week three, that's odd. Most colleges look across this sport. Find me another... college football team that
has. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, you know, you're quick to point the finger at officials in the league office and all these, everybody, you know, this is self-inflicted. 100%.
Again, I'm not arguing that. I hate it that the schedule's like this. It's wonky. It's weird.
Okay. I mean, I don't think it's weird because this is what the hell we've done for all your life. I mean, I don't know why it's weird to you because we've played in Little Rock your entire life and we've opened in Little Rock the last 2 years and we got one more to down there. So, I mean... I don't know that it's weird. I think it's normal. Now, it may not be right, but it's pretty normal.
Do they open in Little Rock for that A-State game next year?
I don't know if they open, but they play one more down there. But, I mean, I'm just saying playing early in Little Rock is not out of the routine is I guess, my point.
RD, let's start with Willie Mays. Passed away at 93 years old yesterday. You've got a few more years on Tommy and myself. Any thoughts on the Hall of Famer? I wouldn't say gone too soon, but a guy that definitely impacted the game greater than almost anyone.
Yeah, no doubt. I caught him at the very tail end of his career. It was one of those careers that you knew that was a Hall of Fame type career. You know, even when I was young, and he was special. But 93 years old, lived a long life, and definitely one of the more respected guys ever in baseball, and credited with one of the greatest catches ever. It's sad, but at the same time, again. 93 years old, man, I'll take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's way longer than, unfortunately, Alex Collins, Ryan Mallett, who we've talked extensively about. Alex is formally getting inducted. Of course, he's not here with us, but this upcoming fall, that Friday night before the UAB game, I know that you've had a relationship with him for quite some time. How cool is it to see him being included in this upcoming Arkansas Hall of Honor class?
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I mean, obviously it's bittersweet, but it shows the respect that the program and the fans have for Alex. And I was texting his head coach yesterday after seeing that, and it definitely brings back a lot of memories, the recruiting process, him being in Fayetteville, and then him going to the NFL, and just the guy that he was. I mean, he was always always had a smile on his face, and really touched a lot of people, and enjoyed being a Razorback, and really embraced the state, and quite unique young man. I mean, I remember the first time I talked to him was in Los Angeles for the Simplify All-American game, and his head coach Doug Gatewood told me, he said, he's a different dude, and I really didn't know what he meant until I talked to him, and it just he was just such a sharp young man, and just kind of he was kind of an old soul a little bit, because the first time we talked, I asked him about some of his idols in football, and he went back a long ways in the NFL, and so it kind of told me that he was kind of a student of the game a little bit.
Yeah, another guy that we're all familiar with, and guy we get to see every day, Matt Jones, co-host of Halftime with Phil, and I mean, I don't think you can. He personifies Razorback legend. Goes into the Hall of Honor as well this year, along with Raven Caldwell. I think those two guys got got the common tie with both. Both playing at Portsmouth Northside.
Yeah, both. I know, obviously, teammates of both of them, and both of their teammates respected. They respected both of those guys, and that's what you like to see, obviously. But I remember Raven as a defensive end, and then went on to play in the NFL for a few years. And then obviously Matt, probably definitely one of the best athletes to ever play at the University of Arkansas, and just a freak of an athlete, and something you just don't see very often. But what he run, 4.39 at 6'6", like 240 pounds at the combine. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, Raven Caldwell's of an age that I think a lot of people probably under age of 40 or 45 probably not as familiar. But this guy that played in the early 80s, like you said, defensive end, but 2-time Super Bowl champion with the Redskins.
Yeah, no doubt. I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah.
They may be the Commanders, but they'll always be the Redskins for me.
Yeah.
Growing up, I mean, I don't want to get too political, but they'll always be the Redskins, and it'll be I hear Commanders, and it still doesn't stick with me, man.
Yeah, it was with Washington 87 to 92 and won those titles.
Artie, Matt, Tommy asked you about Matt's recruitment. Matt, as a Hall of Honor, what do you remember about Matt's recruitment? I've heard him talk a little bit. He doesn't like to go too much into himself. He's just a very humble guy. What do you remember about Matt getting recruited out of both Van Buren and Northside 20-plus years ago?
You know, he was I'm pretty sure if I remember right, he was a consensus three-star, which really, he was projected as an athlete. I think I'm pretty sure he was. He played quarterback, obviously, but I just tend to think that for whatever reason, he should have been it's hard to believe he wasn't at least a 4-star.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely a 5-star athlete. I guess just because he played. Maybe if he played receiver or something, he probably might have been rated higher. But he was it was Oklahoma and Arkansas, the best I ever recall. But And obviously Arkansas won out.
And luckily they did. We can thank 2002 Miracle and Markham amongst the other great plays. 03 ambushing the guys in Austin. And we're, of course, fortunate, like Thomas said, to have him as a team member here at ESPN Arkansas. One of the cool storylines the last day or so has been Jake Bates, Richard, who goes from the UFL, now signed with the Detroit Lions. We're excited. We're going to get a chance to talk with him at 8 a.m. tomorrow about his journey. It's kind of interesting. At Arkansas, he didn't really do kick. Like, he didn't do kicks because Cam was handling the kicks. He did the kickoffs, but then he's blasting 60-plus yarders for the other Michigan team, that professional team. What did you think about Jake getting a chance to fulfill his dream and play the National Football League that came down yesterday?
Well, you always knew he had the leg because, my gosh, he boomed the kickoffs. Mm-hmm. But, he's one of those guys, obviously, got the opportunity, made the most of it, and now he's going to have a bigger opportunity. So that's a lot of credit to him. He could have pouted. He just did his thing, and when he had the opportunity on the professional level, he's a household name in a lot of places just because, you know, from a historical standpoint, with how many 50 yarders and 60 yarders that he made. I just hope that he continues and he's able to be consistent, because obviously if you're not consistent on the NFL level, you won't be a kicker long.
Yeah. Richard Davenport with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Camp season. I know there's a lineman camp today. And the reason I know that is there is a studly 5'6", 5'7½, 160-pounder from freshman from Fort Smith Southside named Dylan Kraft that is going to the lineman camp this morning. I'm sure he's going to turn a lot of heads, RD, but I, in all seriousness, I do know that lineman camp's going on today. There's a lot of camps that kind of wind down the month of June and get some prospects on campus.
Yeah, this is the last one for the summer. As far as camps, and also they have a 7-on-7 event, 16 teams from around the state and surrounding states. I know Bentonville would be there, Fayetteville. I was looking at the list. I forgot some of the others, but Bentonville West is going to be there also. Yeah, but that Kraft guy, I've been hearing about him. I'm kind of excited to watch him. I guess you're going to be there today.
Well, I mean, it's going on now. I mean, well, they're on their way right now. It's a 7:30
right,
start.
Right.
So.
It starts at 9:30. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's got to be there and register at 8 anyway. They're searching the sundial out so they can time his 40. But for what he doesn't have in size, he makes up for lack of speed. So. Richard, I'm sure he'll be a standout today.
Richard, a couple recent developments for Arkansas football in the class of 25. The Keandre Johnson kid from, I believe, Georgia, and then you've got the other guy from Texas. Can you tell about Arkansas's two recent defensive linemen additions to the 25 class?
Quentin Madison, 6'3", about 280-pound defensive tackle. He's the one from Georgia,
okay.
But he had Missouri, I think Louisville, Kansas, several other offers, and he officially visited over the weekend and pulled the trigger on Sunday, as did Keandre Johnson, who had offers from Texas, Texas A&M, LSU, TCU. I mean, he had an impressive offer list, 6'3", about 245 pounds. He'll play the edge. And Johnson also played tight end too, so he's a guy that could if the line is kind of deep at the defensive end situation, you need a tight end. I mean, he's very capable because he ran a 22.6 or 22.9 in the 200 meters as a ninth grader. So I'm sure he was probably maybe around 200 pounds or something like that, maybe in the ninth grade, but he has great natural speed. So that's one thing that you notice on his film is his ability to rush the passer and also get open as a tight end. And some schools were recruiting him as a tight end, but Arkansas likes him at edge.
That's kind of the defensive line, and those are some kids out of state. I know the big question for tomorrow is where Kerryus Kern is going to go. The Marion outstanding offensive and defensive lineman, Missouri, LSU, and Arkansas all included on his list. Is he going to wind up recommitting to the Razorbacks tomorrow, you think, RD?
Well, if you would have asked me not this past weekend, but the weekend before when he visited Arkansas, I would have said yes. He said that he doubted he was going to visit LSU after the Arkansas visit. But things obviously changed, and he visited LSU. Right now, I'm not the most optimistic about the situation. It's, you know, college football and college recruiting has obviously changed over the last 4 or 5 years, and it's just a strange animal right now in recruiting. But maybe he surprises me and comes back to Arkansas. But I think LSU is going to be tough to beat.
Quick note before we go, there's been some movement with high school basketball, particularly in Northwest Arkansas in that 6A West Conference. School board meetings were held to officially announce Trent Lloyd is the new coach replacing Greg White at Bentonville West. So there's one job. David Farrell, who coached at West Fork and the U of O in Clarksville, and has been at New School, is now going to Rogers. And I was told yesterday by Mike Beaumont, the athletic director at Fort Smith Northside, Cody Wilmoth, who's been the assistant coach at North Little Rock, is now the head coach at Fort Smith Northside, kind of the last hire to be announced. So, RD, and when it comes to basketball in the 6A West and the big schools and the top class, so a lot of new faces that are going to be in place for this next basketball season.
Yeah, and Coach Burnett, I'm going to have to get used to that, you know, not seeing him at Northside.
Well, you know, he wasn't there last year. Mackenzie Pierce from Blytheville came over, and then he left after
right.
a year.
But I'm just so used to him for the longest I always used to reaching out to him, and he's not here, not there. But I saw the names announced, I think yesterday, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And, definitely a lot of movement, but those are obviously three very desirable jobs, and Rogers got one heck of a basketball player.
Yep, I think Jason McMahon is going to be a volunteer coach with them as well, so they are going to have a loaded coaching bench as well there. All right, RD, good stuff, and we'll catch up with you next week for some recruiting talk on a Wednesday.
All right, buddy. If you're not there at the camp, I'll give you a rundown.
I hope you have a high speed lens on your phone, so that it's not just a blur when he runs by.
Yeah, well, you move pretty good as a referee. So I think he's got some wheels.
Natural speed, absolutely. All right, RD, we'll talk to you next week.
Later.
All right, Richard Davenport with us.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. call, quickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Willie Mays loved him some baseball. Passed away at 93 years old yesterday. One of the biggest icons, the biggest legends of the game. Don't take my word for it. Take his.
The game of baseball has been great to me. I have just about everything I need. The only thing that I'm looking for out of baseball now is that I can teach other kids to be as great an athlete as I was in my day.
Well, based on the different accounts I've heard from several other MLB legends, his impact is far-reaching and as great as maybe any icon in the sport itself. We unfortunately lost Jerry West recently, Bill Walton, now Willie Mays. And you mentioned the phrase earlier, it comes in threes. That's a bad thing in this situation, but one of the greatest to ever step foot on a baseball field, dead at 93 years old, Willie Mays. All right, so we'll talk more Willie Mays coming up in this hour. Clay will give us a probably better firsthand perspective than Tommy or I could give, considering I never got a chance to watch him play live, nor did Tommy. I've just, again, read accounts, watched highlights and other stuff. We've had a few listeners already this morning, like Jimmy and Conway, Melvin and Sheridan, that talked openly about Willie Mays. And, again, you can jump in here this morning as well. One person that I can attest to watching is Jake Bates, who just signed a contract with the Detroit Lions yesterday. We're going to have him on at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Maybe that name doesn't sound familiar, and that's understandable. Jake handled the kickoff duties, not the actual kicking duties that Cam Little did, but he was first-team All-SEC. He led the SEC with an average of basically 64 yards per kick, and a lot of his kicks went to touchbacks. Now, for me, Jake's best play was the Alabama game when he recovered that onside kick.
Bates, and it's an onside kick, and they've got it. Sam Pittman said we were going to pull out the stops. He just did it with an onside kick, and his kicker recovered it.
Now, unfortunately, like every other game against Alabama since Nick Saban arrived in Tuscaloosa, you lost that game, but that was a point in the third quarter where you just recovered the onside kick. I think you went on to score a touchdown. He got it to within 5 points, and then Jahmyr Gibbs went off in the fourth, and Alabama pulled away by like three touchdowns. So that's neither here nor there, but Jake had an impact in college and hopefully have an impact in the pros like he has with this UFL team, the Michigan Panthers, this past season.
Yeah, and, you know, kickers are getting more spotlight now. They're getting more they're getting drafted. They're getting paid more. So, hey, and kickers can have a long lasting career as long as you can put it through the pipe.
Jake has hit a 60-yarder, a 64-yarder, a 62, and a 60 already this year. And again, he built himself kind of a reputation in the UFL.
Good snap, good hold, line drive, kick, and it is good!
A lot of the times when I would type in Pro Hogs and kind of get an update, Jake's name was the only one popping up, and he's not really moving. He's going from the Michigan Panthers to the Detroit Lions, both in that area. And I think they played their games in Ford Field as well. So I think he's even playing in the same stadium, which is cool. But I know that Sam Pittman and this staff is happy to see Jake, who is, again, not as notorious. Most kickers aren't as notorious. But if I remember right, There's something going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars kicker. I think he's in something involved in court. So you might see two Razorback kickers kicking this upcoming season professionally.
Arkansas's had some really good ones over the years. I mean, go back to Little, Steve Cox, Kendall Traynor. I mean, you just keep going through a list. But, I mean, this isn't something new that Arkansas's had good kickers. So I'm glad to see him get the kind of the call up. I don't know if that's really the minors, but certainly the step up everyone's looking for.
I was going to say, I think they're wanting to be kind of that league in a sense where you've got all these minor league teams to do it. And again, it gives, like you said, a chance to show, hey, you come play for us. You've got a chance at the National Football League at the next level. So excited to catch up with Jake tomorrow. One of the things I have not mentioned this morning thus far is a basketball scheduling note. Rocco Miller is going to join us on Friday during the SEC update, and Rocco covers college basketball. He's got his own website, bracketeer.org. He's actually been the first on a couple different Razorback scheduling stories. I know everyone wants to know what's going on with Cal and this basketball team. According to his website, bracketeer.org, Arkansas is working on an agreement to play Illinois on Thanksgiving Day. Now, Hogbeat has a source that has said that the programs are working on this game. They've agreed to play. They're trying to get other teams to fill this like multi-team event. You beat Illinois a couple years ago in the NCAA tournament in Des Moines, Iowa. Brad Underwood's probably going to have a decent team. I know Coleman Hawkins left. I think Terrence Shannon's probably going to the NBA. I don't remember what his track record is, but they had a good team last year. But it sounds like Thanksgiving Day, you're going to be playing the final line on November the 28th.
Does it say where at?
No, they're working on where to play.
Okay. Maybe because that's going to come down to sponsorship. That's going to come down to TV. Mm-hmm. They have Vegas events at that time of the year. It could be a venue like that. Could be in Chicago. I mean, I doubt it would, I would highly doubt it'd be at Bud Walton Arena. So,
yeah. Like you said, it will be a venue that they go to rather than playing in Champaign or Fayetteville, I would think. And I think there will be other teams involved. Remember, Arkansas pulled out, I'm going to call it the Eric Musselman Invitational because it was in San Diego. Purdue, I think another SEC team might have been featured in it as well. But they pulled out of that within the last week or so. Maybe it was even before that, but I think we got wind of it lately. And so now that Thanksgiving week's kind of open. We know in December, the 3rd and the 10th is when you'll play Miami in the SEC Challenge on the 3rd, and the 10th you'll play Michigan at Madison Square Garden. But this is a relatively new tidbit, and you're going to play Oakland, I think, December 30th. Yeah. So you've got a loaded December, and it sounds like they're trying to, according to this report, load up November too.
So if you're going to play somewhere and you get to, Cal's going to have the largest say in where you would play, city and location, trying to recruit nationally, you're already playing in Miami, you're already going to play at Madison Square Garden. Where else would you like to build a presence?
I would say go to Vegas, but they've got a tournament there already where Alabama's featured in. I think A&M might be there too. I think you go out west. I think you go to a California, like a Los Angeles, somewhere out west, I would say. Because, again, you mentioned Northeast. You mentioned Southeast. I think you go out west. If I had a choice, they're saying the matter.
Okay. And I know it's their own backyard, but maybe you play in Chicago. Maybe that wouldn't be the worst. I mean, I know it's Illinois you're playing, but Chicago might not be a bad spot either.
I take that over what I just said. That's a great destination.
Hey, we're brought to you by The Fence Man. Do you own a business that needs more security or maybe more curb appeal and maybe just a better look? Get it all in one with The Fence Man. They can give you both. They've been doing it for more than 40 years. They can custom install any type of fencing, gates, and controlled access for your business. Call The Fence Man. Ask about 18-month same-as-cash financing, 479-782-3936. 782-3936, The Fence Man. He ain't afraid of no work.
We'll get into our Morning Rush Daily Question when we return and more of your beefs on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. Stay with us. It's the Morning Rush.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort. effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USAFireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale of fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USAFireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, now that you've had maybe a few more minutes, if you were with us in the last segment, to consider the conversation we're having, Ty was given the report that Arkansas and Illinois are scheduled to play, or there's talks that they're going to play Thanksgiving Day as part of John Calipari's new schedule they're putting together, and it's going to be a multi-team event. Arkansas and Illinois will play. Considering you're going to New York City, considering you're going to play in Miami, considering you got the other things we kind of know about, plus the SEC schedule, if you were going to plan around the Razorbacks and where they're playing, maybe for your Thanksgiving trip, where would you like to go? I mentioned Chicago. Now that you've maybe had a few more minutes to think about it, where would you like to go? That's our Red River Dodge Morning Rush Daily Question. Where is it important to recruit nationally? Now, I don't know that, you know, if you pick Chicago over New Orleans or pick New Orleans over, L.A., that's going to be the difference in landing the next premier talent, because I think that the portal changes so much. But, you know, I'm looking at it selfishly. All right. It's not cold here yet, Thanksgiving, but where might I want to go, or where haven't I not been before I'd like to visit? That's the Morning Rush Daily Question. Ty, if you were going to spend Thanksgiving watching Razorback basketball in person, where do you want to do it at?
It's going to be cold in Chicago, but...
Maybe not. It's going to be chilly in Thanksgiving. Yeah, I don't know about cold yet.
It's a cool destination. I was there this past New Year's. I love Chicago. Would love to go back in the summer. Kind of the ones, and I think what's important, and Chuck always points this out, and he's exactly right, and I have to kind of recalibrate what I think about Arkansas basketball. Similar to what Arkansas baseball has done these last few years, you're not bound in-state or even regionally.
Nope.
You can go wherever you want with your basketball coach. I think Chicago is a hotbed for many great high school young basketball players. I think about a place like Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily think of Phoenix as a basketball hotbed. It's not where you go, but there's a lot of great talent in the Phoenix area with basketball and AAU connections and EYBL stuff. So that's kind of one that I thought about, and it being obviously the weather, you're asking in a sense, like, where would I want to be in November? Well, it's not going to be that cold in Phoenix, Arizona in November. So that would be
one.
It's
not terrible here.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, Cal at SEC spring meetings mentioned the possibility of Dallas. We know they're going to play in Little Rock. I don't remember if it's come out that it's UCA or if that's just something on Twitter. I need to double check on that. But Dallas has not been announced yet, to my knowledge. So maybe the prospect of this game being reportedly out there by Rocco Miller and Bracketeer.com is a Dallas destination, which I think for a lot of our listeners and fans, Thanksgiving to Dallas is not only like close, but it's something you could actually conceive doing. But Phoenix, like Kansas City, is another great spot.
Yep, I was thinking about that.
The Sprint Center. You're not going to play in Tulsa. You're not going to play the BOK Center. So those are. But if I had to pick one, based on you always mentioned the basketball talent, I would say Phoenix.
I like the my first thought of Chicago. Doesn't do much for Illinois from a recruiting standpoint. Probably gives them an edge in that game as far as having maybe a home court. Takes away a little bit of the neutrality of the venue, but I don't think that type of stuff bothers Cal. But I think something of this nature, the sky's the limit. Your imagination is the only thing that limits you. I mean, you talk about games on aircraft carriers and games in just made-for-TV type scenes or venues. I think something like that is possible. But I think Chicago, because of the type of talent you can get out of there, nonstop flights out of Northwest Arkansas can get your fans there. It's drivable, 8-hour drive or so, 9-hour drive from Northwest Arkansas. So it's doable for those. And I think it's a destination that, I'd spend Thanksgiving there having a good steak, some great pizza. And I think fans would attend. I think there's, it's a huge media market. It's a huge place for talent, and I don't think it'd be hard to get Illinois to sign up for that either.
And the good thing is you have several options for your significant other to say, hey, do you, because we can't go to all of them, right? Like no one can, unless you're a certain echelon of Arkansas fan, which is about less than 1%. But you have, hey, sweetie, do you want to go to New York? Or do you want to maybe go to Chicago for Thanksgiving? New York a little before Christmas? Do you want to go to Miami when it's going to be cold here in December? So you have these options and destinations potentially. Another two that I thought of recently, watching Jason Tatum in the NBA Finals, St. Louis. That is more regional. It's drivable. It's flyable for fans. And there's a lot of basketball talent in St. Louis. You play in the Scott Trade Center. And then the other one I had that we just got a text in, I had this down, Dean Fort Smith, Atlanta. Atlanta's a huge way. Think about football. I mentioned football in Clemson earlier. That's a great basketball city with Anthony Edwards probably to be the most notable recruit to come out of there recently.
Your idea of Kansas City's not bad. St. Louis is one we should consider. I still like Chicago above those three. But why I like all three of those and any of those three, what is Arkansas doing that Saturday following Thanksgiving?
What is our playing football?
Against?
Missouri.
Where?
Columbia.
There you go.
So you're saying just driving from, St. Louis or Chicago
for fans,
from there?
For fans.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously it's two different teams, but same school. If you're a basketball fan and you go to a game, that Columbia is halfway between Kansas City and St. Louis. They're on, what is that, I-70? That'd be great for fans. Now, that's not how they're going to decide, but, we're just having a discussion this morning. I think any of those three would be great for fans that wanted to do both.
That might be I think I've got a friend that lives in Columbia. We've never really had an opportunity to go to a game because of the setup being on Friday. I mean, it's right after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to, but being on Saturday, unless they move it back, which we don't think they're going to based on the schedule.
It's done.
That seems like a possibility to actually go this year. Now, it depends with it being the last game on the schedule. I know where your team is slated in the preseason, at least from a media perspective. I hope they far exceed those expectations, but you hope that it's worth to even consider to go to that game. Because you might be in a situation where it's like you're not even going to think about playing, depending on how your season fares.
So you're just a fair weather fan? You only go when they're winning?
I mean, I think we both put up with the team. Though it's the difference between going and actually, and then actually watching.
I'm just saying, this isn't the reason you decide where you want to have that basketball contest. And we're assuming Arkansas's got the final say because of Calipari. But I just say that would be a bonus for fans if it was in one of those venues in that area. You could do both. That's not why you do it. I just think it's a bonus reason.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I'd say the. I guess they had the SEC tournament, the Scott Trade Center, or the NCAA tournament there a few years back.
They had the SEC tournament there, I don't know.
It's not
six, seven years ago.
It's not a bad facility. I know St. Louis is not always the safest area at times, but I would think for something like that, you shouldn't have an issue.
All right, that's your Morning Rush Daily Question. It's brought to you by Red River Dodge in Heber Springs. They are Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at RedRiverDodge.com.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
So I've got a few beefs that I want to get into this morning. I'll save one or two for when Clay joins us in hour number three. Tommy, it always seems like there's delays with the College World Series, as there was last night. I mean, rain's just a part of it.
Well, not just rain. Did you see the radar last night?
Oh, was it?
It was a wide, long line of thunderstorms. I mean, they're right. I wouldn't call it Tornado Alley, but they're a block away. I mean, it's just common that the College World Series is going to have a day or two that's, you know, got storms. It's that time of the year. It's where the atmosphere heats up. It's expected.
So Florida State defeated North Carolina, knocked out the Tar Heels 9-5 yesterday. Kentucky and Florida are really going to get going an hour after our show this morning at 10 o'clock. Then Tennessee at Florida State will play at 2. If Tennessee wins, they'll move on to the finals. And then Kentucky or Florida will take on Texas A&M later on tonight.
So just to clarify, that first game, A&M awaits the winner of that game. The loser of the 10 a.m. game is sack the bats, season over. So we'll be down to four later today if the games get off on time.
Yeah, it's
Tennessee's a win away from the finals. So is A&M, though.
Yeah. It's more of a nuisance than anything. Maybe it's not the worst or the highest degree of beef I've ever had, but it happens every year. Now, you pointed out the obvious that you're in a certain part of the United States. Yeah. It's not great, but it's just annoying. And it feels like, now y'all tell me if I'm wrong, for the ones that have attended, it feels like it's always worse when Arkansas is there, actually in Omaha. That there's even more delays and more weather and that you have to deal with it. And I know that's frustrating for those that have to maybe spend another day or two in a hotel room, because it's already really expensive for what they charge.
At least they moved the swim trials this year to Indianapolis. Did you see the pictures of that deal?
I did.
Where they built the pool in the middle of Lucas Oil, or built two, I guess you should say. But that event for a long time was held in Omaha. They have a, do you know what the name is of the facility that when you have a pool?
I've driven by it.
There's gymnasiums. There's arenas. What do you call a place that houses the pool?
Big C's got the answer. What is it, Big C?
Is it aquatics?
No. Well, I mean, people call them that, but the name is a natatorium.
Natatorium. Yeah. Okay. Natatorium. I did see those pictures for Lucas Oil.
Built it right on top of the ground.
It's pretty unique.
Burton Pools could build us one like that.
It's pretty unique to...
right out here in the front yard.
Come on. Come on, guys.
Yeah, we need a pool.
That'd be pretty cool. That's kind of one of the beats. I've got plenty.
But my point was, in the past, you'd go up there and they'd have the swim trials every fourth year and the College World Series in the same town. It was impossible to get a room and impossible to get anywhere good for dinner.
I do remember we tried to get into the Drovers because Clay got a question yesterday about, hey, where do I need to go eat? And he said the Drover. We stopped by the Drover. It was like a 2.5 hour wait. We're like, no.
I went for lunch.
That's a smart way to do it.
This is 2015. I went up. I was just by myself on that trip. And go for lunch, sit at the bar, in and out, no wait. Went about 11:30, no problem.
I'm just not
If you're going by yourself, or even just two of you, just go for lunch. Same menu, same great steak. If you're going to Omaha,
do it that way.
Yep.
All right, what is it? I've got a couple other beats. What is another?
I'm not really hacked off about a lot of stuff this morning. You know, it is getting that hot summertime. It does feel like, you know, the air conditioner never cycles and that, you know, things are breaking down in the heat. But, you know, I don't really, my kids are off a little bit from school. And I know school's out, but man, in the summertime, your kids are really never off. I know Dylan's going to a football camp today, but a couple weeks here in the dead period. So I'm just looking forward to a little time off next week and spend some time with him. I don't have a lot to beef about.
Well, let me see.
Only beef I'd have, so I got a 10-hour drive on Sunday after a morning of golf, playing in a golf tournament this weekend. That's not a beef. That's just going to be, I'm going to have to take it easy on Saturday night.
There's no easy way to drive down through the Redneck Riviera, is there? I mean, people tell you, it's like, hey, you got to take this route, you got to take this route, you got to take this route.
Cut off over here, cross over at Greenville, take the back road, go through Yazoo City. It's 10 to 12 hours wherever you're going down there regardless.
Yeah, I feel like it
and
all.
And the roads are going to be packed. We're trying to leave kind of at an off time, so maybe we miss some of the traffic. There is a new bypass around the Mobile Tunnel, so that helps a bunch. Because I used to get stuck. If you didn't time it right, you get stuck in that tunnel. It was a nightmare. Because they'd have a four-lane road, squeezed down to two lanes, and it was just inevitable. You know?
Do you make sure you always fill up gas as much? I had a situation my uncle was way more responsible than I am, and he told me he was on a shocking phone call, and he was doing a bunch of other things, and he said he almost ran out of gas
sitting there waiting on the tunnel.
Well, no, he was meeting me for dinner last night, and that kind of thing. I was thinking about, like, if you're sitting in a tunnel and you might not think of, like, loading up on gas.
Tells you all the time, hey, you're low on fuel, moron. Hey, because I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, says low, says I got 40 miles, and then he goes from 40 to 32, low range. Now I don't know. Now I'm flying blind.
Yeah.
Man, because I'm going to tell you, like, if you're leaving Fayetteville, I was doing this the other day, had to go down to Fort Smith. You've got to make a decision at Greenland. Do I have enough gas to get from Greenland to Rudy? Because if you run out of gas between Greenland and Rudy,
you're in trouble.
You're out of luck.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
I have had to, there's one gas station, I'm forgetting the city on that section of Arkansas on the highway, but there's like one that you have to go and like twist and turn. It's like 2 or 3 miles up the road because we almost ran out of gas. I'm really bad about trips because when I'm ending a trip or starting a trip, I just want to get there as quick as possible. So I just keep pushing off. I've been on 1 mile left probably 4 or 5 times last year.
What are your beefs out there? McLarty Daniel Hotline is open 877-377-6963. You can call or text us what's kind of crawling under your skin right now.
I'm going to see if this irks you a little bit. So Bryson DeChambeau, I think for some people, kind of, I don't know if safe face is the right word, but maybe you felt a little differently about him after this weekend than you did prior to with the live stuff. Now, I want you to listen to this. I think you might almost revert. Listen to what he says about being not included on the U.S. Olympic team.
It was tough for me not to go last time around because of COVID, and just one of those things that happened. And, you know, hopefully one day this game of golf will get figured out and come back together and I'll be able to play. I'm playing great golf. I'm excited. But ultimately, yeah, am I frustrated, disappointed? Sure, you can absolutely say that. But I made the choices that I made and there's consequences to that and I respect it. But hopefully sooner rather than later, we figure that out. So this great game of golf, we can get past all that and move forward into showing how awesome this sport actually is around the globe.
All right, so that part, hey, I made the choices. I knew the consequences. He knew that the LIV Tour doesn't get world golf ranking points. Mm-hmm. And that's what all of this is about is I believe you got to be in the top four in your country in the world golf rankings to get on the Olympic team. There may be more to it than that, but essentially, why is Bryson DeChambeau not on the Olympic team? Because he plays on the LIV Tour, and on the LIV Tour, you don't get world golf ranking points. And that's how the Olympic team is decided. He made the choices. He said there, and I'm glad he pointed, hey, I made the choice. I knew the consequences, because that's exactly why he's not on the Olympic team in many ways, because he's played very well in the majors, and that's the only time we've seen him, because none of us watch LIV golf.
Yeah, he's a 10. Here's when he says consequences, I remember when all this first started and you had certain guys defect and certain guys that picked to go on this tour. I wasn't as like outspoken about this because I think it presented in that situation. I was offered a certain amount of money. There's a chance that I would take it. But you have to understand that like you're golfing in an organization of people that hate the United States and hate America. And you're trying to, again, fix that on the idea that you want to compete for the U.S. national team ball at the same time being on a tour. That, again, I'm not ever going to be like, you know what, I'm not going to rip them or do anything like that, because if I was presented with that type of money, I just got to be honest, there's a chance I would take it. So I think it's very short-sighted of me to wag my finger at them when, again, if I all of a sudden got offered $150 million a year to go do radio in Saudi Arabia, I might consider it and do it. So I get where he's coming from, but at the same time, I think he understands. The question will be in future years, because I think it's pretty hard to deny that he's not one of the best golfers in the United States and could potentially represent this country from a talent standpoint. But it's also the fact that he elected to do this, and I think he understands that. It is just a question if that will happen down the road at some point.
Yeah. All right, getting some beefs in by text this morning on the McLarty Daniel hotline. I know we got some by phone. B.E. talking about that one lane section. Have you been up and down 49 lately? Man, if you catch it at the wrong time, they're doing some bridge repaving, resurfacing some of the bridges between Greenland and the tunnel, and it squeezes down to one lane. I guess one beef of mine, and I think B's kind of on the same wavelength, these people that get in the right lane and want to run all the way up to the front.
Oh, yeah, and then try to sneak back in.
And that's what slows the traffic down.
Yeah.
Just get in line, take your turn, and it'll move much faster. But, yeah, man, at times it can be a headache going south on 49 right now, but price for progress, I guess.
Yeah. Sterling's got one this morning. What's up, Sterling?
Oh, nothing much, guys. I'm going to talk a little bit about Willie Mays. And, if you put a Hall of Fame down, Cooperstown, the 10 guys, he still makes it.
No question.
That's just how great a player he was. And I'm here tired, and I hear other people say, well, I didn't see him play. I didn't see him play. And I always wonder why the caveat. When you YouTube it or see the highlight, read the accounts of it like you would in any paper or anything on the internet today, it's the same thing. You just didn't happen to be born to see it, but it still happened. And these people still say these things about them. And I tell you what, and you talk about his 2 years of service in the armed forces, and he just would have had a normal year. He just would have hit 40 each of those years. And all those home runs that got blew down at Candlestick off the bay. He's an 800 home run. He's an 800 home run person.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, easy. And stealing bases wasn't like it was in the 80s. Or he would have had 600, 700 of those if he so choose. A true 5-2 player. I think definitely one of the best, maybe the best all around baseball player there is. And when you talk Babe Ruth, you also throw in his pitching and stuff. And you talk Williams, you talk about the great hitting. But all-around position player, all-around tools, it's hard to beat the great Willie Mays. And it's funny, but it's not funny, it's ironic that this game today, was going to honor Willie Mays in the old Negro League.
Yep.
And he was going to be the guest of honor. He just said that a few days ago that he wasn't going to be able to make it. And now we know now. Why he can't make it. He got a bigger appointment. to a bigger and better room. Gotcha. Have a great day.
You know, if you think about kind of an all-time outfield, I don't think many would argue that. I think most would have Willie Mays in center. Let's see. Who would you put? You'd put Ricky Henderson in left field, right? And you'd have to have Babe Ruth in right field. That'd be like if you were going to do an all-time baseball outfield. I think you start – every conversation should start with Willie Mays. That'd be my three. Ty, I don't know if you've ever given that any thought or Big C, but those would be the three you'd have to consider. I think Mays is on everyone's top of his list. And then because of the hitting, Henderson would be your left fielder, and Babe Ruth speaks for himself as your right fielder.
Haven't given any thought. That's a Phil Elson conversation, and I'll let him take the reins on that.
Those would be three good ones. I mean, maybe there's someone else should be in that conversation, but in center field, I think Willie Mays is where it begins and ends.
Hard to dispute that based on what he was able to do. And Sterling, you bring up a good point. I don't mean to diminish his accomplishments when I say that I didn't watch him. I just think there's people like Clay, like Melvin, and that others can give better accounts because they actually saw him firsthand live. That's kind of what I do when I set that up in that type of frame. Hey, I want to tell you about what's going on with our friends at Rath Auto Resources in Fort Smith and Rath Mitsubishi in Springdale. Now, I know a lot of you are in the market for a car of some sort, maybe for a kiddos down the road. Have you considered the Mitsubishi Outlander before? It starts for less than $30,000. This is something that I know David and his team are really prideful about. There's a lot of people that out there that maybe you're not as familiar with the Mitsubishi brand. Well, David and his team, they can walk you through all the features, everything that's going on there. I'm telling you, you're going to walk away pretty impressed like you are with the rest of their pre-owned inventory because it's Road Ready certified, and they go through a lawn inspection process through their Meineke Car Care Center at both locations to make sure that you get that. Plus, the pre-owned vehicles come with a warranty as well. So when you're in the market for thinking about a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, whatever the case may be, check out Rath Auto Resources in Fort Smith, Rath Mitsubishi in Springdale. You can check out both locations online on the websites as well. Plus, make sure you're following their socials. They do giveaways all the time. They just gave away a $100 Texas Roadhouse gift card. We've got our hog update coming up in just a bit. We'll come back to the scheduling update report for Arkansas basketball. Jake Bates also making the Detroit Lions. Plus, our friend Matt Jones in the Hall of Honor. We'll talk about some other of his inductees coming up in September.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Long before Willie Mays was a national icon, he was a 20-year-old baseball prodigy, debuting with the New York Giants. It was 1951, the golden age of baseball, and Mays wasn't your typical rookie. He had played professionally in the Negro Leagues since he was just 16 years old, and he brought that league's exciting brand of play with him to New York.
Willie Mays gets a great ovation from the crowd.
He runs the bases like a choo-choo train.
He could do everything on the field. Run, hit, catch, throw. And he did it all with style and flair.
I felt that people pay that money to come to the ballpark. I must do something other than just catch the ball or hit a home run.
He made casual basket catches to delight the fans and famously wore a hat that was one size too small.
That way it's never going to stay on. Fans like to see you go back and pick up your hat. They like to see it come off your head.
Clay, I thought there was a really good tribute that you just heard a bit of from the MLB Network talking about the man that is Willie Hayes and Willie Mays. I keep saying that, Willie Mays. And I think you would probably give a better perspective than Tommy, I may have could, of the guy that actually watched him back in the day.
Yeah, when you got a chance to see, you know, there's only one game on TV, the Saturday afternoon game that was televised, and if the Giants were playing, then you knew you were going to see Willie Mays. And you know, I'll give you a little bit different perspective. When I was in grade school, me and my brothers and kids in our neighborhood played Strat-O-Matic baseball. It is a card game with, you know, with the stats on the cards, and you, and then you had odds, and you rolled the dice, and it told you what, you know, what was going to happen with your player. I always picked the Giants because that meant you had Willie McCovey and Willie Mays, and you just didn't lose. And they were unstoppable and Strat-O-Matic. But he was great. I, you know, watched the last few days, or at least the last few hours. I was up real early this morning and kind of saw the replay of SportsCenter last night, the tribute to Mays. And the thing that jumped out at me, and I knew that he'd played in the Negro League, and I knew that, that you know, he was an early pioneer as far as a black athlete playing Major League Baseball. And I also knew that, you know, Jackie Robinson was first, but apparently he was, you know, he took the abuse just like Jackie Robinson did and carried himself in a way that, that it eventually went away. And so, you know, you admire his composure and ability to pave the way for future great players to make that move from the Negro League. But he, yeah, he was a hero. And well, I never tried to make those basket catches. You know, you talked about that, but, you know, that seemed awfully difficult. It would just imagine like it's, you know, it's a wide receiver going after a football and you look up and here it comes, but football's a lot bigger than baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then, you know, just through the years, the interviews that he did, yeah, always with grace and humility. And that I guess that's where we saw Ty, you would have known Willie Mays for that more than his play, because, you know, they would have him on at certain times. Around the All-Star game, you'd see him on the field and someone would grab him and talk to him. And you'd just stop and you would say, well, you know, this is one of the all-time dudes.
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to him just talk about his love for baseball.
Yeah.
One of the events, Tommy, that you had, I knew there was an event last night between the Birmingham Barons and the Montgomery Biscuits, formerly the Birmingham Black Barons and the Montgomery Gray Sox of the Negro Leagues. But you had mentioned they were going to do a tribute game with St. Louis and San Francisco, mm-hmm, in that ballpark, which is, I guess, Rickwood Field or Rickwood Park, whatever it is, yep, which is America's oldest ballpark.
To honor.
And it... And I think he wasn't, I forget who said it, I think Sterling said it earlier that, yeah, he wasn't able to make that. And unfortunately, we know why.
His health was bad, yeah, but, you know, now I think that remembrance gets even more attention because of his passing. Correct. And what they're, yep, doing at, yep, Rickwood Field will get even more media attention, which...
it should,
And it will. And in some ways, I mean, while you're grateful for Willie Mays. He's 93. He didn't get cheated any days. You're proud to honor his legacy that I think for the last at least three and maybe four generations, we know what we read. We know what videos and the highlights we watch on YouTube or whatever, Clay, but you got to be of a certain age, and you're on the younger end of that age that actually got a chance to maybe just see the tail end of his career. You were maybe just old enough to see the tail end of his prime, because this is a guy who's
his prime, yeah.
Yeah, you know, by the 70s, that wasn't the Willie Mays that made him the 24-time All-Star.
Yeah, I was thinking this was when I was playing baseball growing up, playing Pony League, you know, 13 to 15, that was definitely his prime. And, you know, my brother kind of got together with Charles Ripley and Buddy Coleman, and we broke the color barrier at Lamar Porter Field. And I can't remember one of the guys' name, but the other was Muskie Harris, who played for the Razorbacks. And I'll never forget, as Butch was getting uniforms together, and it's like, hey, you know, it was an expansion team, so we, you know, they were going to be brand new uniforms. And usually when you got kid league uniforms, it would just be like 1 to 20. That's the numbers. But when you're starting it from scratch, you can say, hey, do you want, what number do you want? You know, like, and I can remember those two kids, one of them wanted 42, Jackie Robinson, the other wanted 24, mm-hmm, Willie Mays. And that spoke a lot to me. You know, I wanted 7, Mickey Mantle, but that's who those guys idolized. And, you know, when you think of, you know, what was going on in the black community, they're just getting their chance to play in white leagues all across America, and you saw all those kids wearing 24.
So you bring up Mantle, DiMaggio. I guess if you go way back, Ty Cobb. Is Willie Mays the greatest center fielder ever?
Well, I think that's pretty objective when you determine that. I mean, Ken Griffey was pretty good.
Ken Griffey, Mike Trout playing right now.
Yeah,
pretty darn good.
You think about the quickness and ability to cover ground, and the center fielders kind of make plays that the other outfielders you can afford to play some slugs in left field and right field if you've got a gazelle in center field that can get to those alleys where those other guys, you know, they're just corner outfielders did not have to be great players. They got to be great hitters.
Yeah.
So I think center field is kind of a special position. But, yeah, I'm not going to argue. There's about 10 you could say, I'll take that guy, and your team is going to be set. But if you give me first pick, it might be Willie Mays.
Yeah, you know, and my point is, I don't care who's having the discussion, Mays is going to be in it. And DiMaggio and Mantle, two legendary center fielders and icons of baseball, are right there. But I think if you read a lot of, you know, and everybody gets canonized in moments following their passing, but I think if you read some of these older all-time lists of center field, Mays is generally one or two, and most of them I've read through this morning, he's number one. And I think people, you know, and I know Mickey Mantle was from just across the line over there in Oklahoma, and DiMaggio's speech, you know, those are, I mean, when I say Mantle and DiMaggio, you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Willie Mays, in most people's estimate, was a better center fielder on most of these all-time lists.
Yeah, and to be honest on Mantle, you know, he played right field when DiMaggio was playing center field, and then when DiMaggio left, and he was kind of a shell of himself when he moved over to center field because his knees were gone. You know, he hurt that one knee when he dodged DiMaggio and stepped in the grate, and that was kind of the end of his ability to play great in the field. The reason why you say, hey, he was a great center fielder is because he hit 500 home runs. Mm-hmm. He was not covering ground like he did in his early days. His early days, he stole bases, and he would cut in front of DiMaggio, you know, because DiMaggio wasn't as fast in his late years. But back to Willie Mays, he was, you know, one of those five-tool players that he did. You know, he ran, he could throw, he could hit. I mean, I would say if I was my all-time outfield, and Tommy, you and I have already kind of had texting back and forth, but we leave him out a lot because his career was cut short. But, man, I think I might take Roberto Clemente in right field.
Mm, yeah. In right field, I mean, Babe Ruth wasn't fast, but
I'd make him a DH.
Yeah, if you had a DH, you'd probably put him there. But if you didn't have a DH, Babe Ruth would be.
Or a pitcher. He could pitch.
Yeah, he could do either one.
A hitting pitcher.
Do we agree left field's got to be Ricky Henderson, or do you go somewhere else?
Man, I'm going blank. Where did Hank Aaron play? He played somewhere out there.
he was in right field.
Yeah, okay. But it's like you can't go wrong. This is one of those fun arguments. And,
it's like
and
your favorite flavor of ice cream.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You
know. It's just like what? How are you going to go wrong with these guys? Yeah. And But Ricky Henderson, you know, his I mean, walks and singles were doubles.
Yeah.
Because he stole second base.
Yeah.
How many times, Tommy?
I mean, he's career leader. I don't know the number, but
he had a ton of. He leads in like leadoff home runs, and he have like the all time number of leadoff home runs. I don't know how many it is, but it was a bunch.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to argue with anything you say about that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Willie Mays. I mean, we've all seen the numbers, but nearly 3,300 hits, 3,298 or 3,293, 660 home runs, and 1,909 RBIs in his career, going back from Birmingham with the Black Barons to New York to obviously San Francisco and the Mets that, spanned 1948 to 1973. It's rare anymore, guys. And, you know, these guys weren't making the nine figure salaries, even in today's money back then that they are now. to have a quarter century career in pro sports is pretty uncommon in that era.
They live pretty good. You know, it's like I was talking to Coach Burles one time, and he said something about, well, his salary was $18,000. And when he came to Arkansas, I was like, gosh, Coach, how'd you make it on that? And he said, oh, they gave me, you know, they gave me two Cadillacs. You know, I mean, my home was pretty much paid for. It's like, I live pretty good now. So, you know, mm-hmm. It's all perspective. You know, inflation done some crazy right. things. But I think what I was told is Willie Mays lived in a nice place in San Francisco and had all the amenities. So he had a good life.
Yeah. Don't doubt that.
But the money that he left behind for his family probably wasn't what these guys are leaving behind yeah. now.
Hey, quick word for our friends at The Hangout. If you're looking for a new place to work out, we would invite you to go check out The Hangout. Go to thehangoutfs.com. You can find membership information there for individuals and family plans. We love it because it's got an 8,000-square-foot gym with every kind of piece of equipment and cardio that you could ever want or need or use. Plus, they got indoor and outdoor tennis and pickleball. They got a basketball court, and they got more on the way as well. Plus, they got the pros there to help you get better, whether it's someone to do personal training and help you get on track with your fitness, or you need some help improving your racket game, either pickleball or tennis. They have that. Plus, leagues that are available for you to get involved. I know pickleball leagues are really fun and really hot right now, so they have all of that going on as well. So if you're looking for something different, something better that you've needed, it's there at The Hangout, 5400 Gary Street, or again, thehangoutfs.com for more details. Fitness, sports, and more. Let's hang out.
So, guys, George Strait in College Station this weekend sells nearly 111,000 tickets. Clay sent me a video last night of Aggie Faithville singing one of his songs. I'm going to be honest, Clay, I don't know if I could deal with that many Aggies in all around me in that proximity, but it's the largest attended concert ever from a ticket.
Let's be careful here. They had 110,000 in that stadium. There weren't 110,000 Aggies. You know, people for George Strait, so, you know, so the concert,
they let smart people in too, huh?
Well, but the first thing that happens is the tickets go on sale through his fan club. And, like, you know, when I went to the concert at Arrowhead, it was, you know, 80,000. And, you know, you walk through the parking lot and the license plates were Texas. You saw University of Texas Longhorns on the front. I mean, I'll guarantee you there were 20,000 Longhorn fans in there. Mm-hmm. And it's they come together over George Strait. It just is. Now, I saw him do a concert at the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeos, and his, you know, the band kind of comes on haphazardly. You know, their drummer comes out there, you know, and they're getting their stuff ready. And as each one came out, they would do a hook 'em horns. they're all UT guys. And he came out and he says, hey, it's pretty cool to have this many Aggies cheer for this many UT guys.
Yeah.
And they did. And they cheered when he said that.
You know. They,
but he's a cool dude.
He is.
As opposed to just being a musician.
I went to see Chris Stapleton last week, and there's a lot of similarities in the fact that Stapleton doesn't dance around, run all over the stage.
No,
he's not the
no.
entertainer. But he can stand there with a guitar and a microphone and entertain you. George Strait's the same way, if you've never seen him, Ty, is he has a when they set it up in a ring, I saw him at the BOK last. I've probably seen him 10 or 12 times. He just goes from corner to corner of the stage singing, and all he needs is that guitar, the microphone, and his band, and he's
great
good.
Band. I know. Usually 15, 16, 17 pieces.
Yeah.
He'll have two backup guys. He'll have two fiddle players. I mean, and they're all A-plus guys that have been with him forever. At Frontier Days Rodeos, I counted how many words that he said during the whole concert, you know, between song, and it was like 15 or 16.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's it. That's all he says.
Well, that's...
And then he, when he introduces the band, there's a few more.
Yeah.
But there, you know, one of the things that he does that is cool is in the second part of his set, he always does a Tom Petty song. And I can't remember which one it is, but you know, he rocks out.
Yeah.
And the reason we did that, about 20 years ago, Tom Petty was doing some kind of top-end 30-minute interview on one of the, you know, the big Nashville country stations. And they're like, what do you think about music? What's happened? And he says, well, first of all, country music is just about dead. He says, you got George Strait, and you got Reba McEntire, and he named a couple others. And he said, all this other crap is not country music. You know, he says, country music is George Jones, Conway Twitty. And he went on and on and just kind of lectured, you know, like the young rock band country, you know, singers, you know, like Florida Georgia Line. I mean, he called him out by name. And so from that point on, George has always done a Tom Petty song.
Yeah. So, but he can do, he's George Strait. He can do anything he wants.
But he can do it. I mean, yeah. he you know, he does justice to,
yeah.
And Chris Stapleton came out and joined in on the Tom Petty song.
Yeah, he was awesome the other night.
He can rock, can he?
He absolutely can.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.